In an ordinary Sydney suburb, a family lives unnoticed.
You came across so innocent.
Father and son keep mostly to themselves.
We didn't go beyond the friendly nod or hello.
But behind closed doors...
Something's gone wrong. Big time.
If you don't make phone calls, nobody can tap you.
A new three-part series investigates how the road to Bondi began long before the first shots rang out. The Road to Bondi. Search Background Briefing wherever you get your podcasts.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
A woman tends to her front garden on a tree-lined street in Brooklyn, New York. This is a place that gives her peace, something she desperately needs. It's 2022, but this woman has lived with death threats and intimidation for years. She says that for every single curse made against her, she plants another flower, turning threats into joy. Perhaps the most striking thing in her garden are the sunflowers. People take photos of them as they walk by. On this day, as she's pottering around, she notices a large man standing in front of her house. Gigantic is how she later describes him. He's pacing oddly, and he's saying something. What? She calls out, thinking he's speaking to her. He doesn't reply. She realizes he seems to be talking to someone on the phone. Something begins to feel wrong about the situation. Her instincts are screaming. She panics, runs to her front door, scrambling for her keys. She turns to look back. The enormous man is now in her front garden, motionless, staring directly at her. Hello, my friend. I'm Aslan Bahari, and this is Assassins, the show where we unravel the world's most shocking assassinations. Or, in today's case, an almost assassination. Though, that's not for lack of trying. Masih Alinejad is an Iranian journalist and activist. She's been in exile since 2008. From a new home in the United States, she's risen to global attention for a campaign to free Iranian women of Iran's hijab laws. She's been encouraging them to post photos of themselves without their headscarves on, displaying their hair to the world. Masih Alinejad tells an American reporter that when she was in Iran, quote, her hair was like a hostage in the hands of the Iranian government. Her actual hair is long and dark with tight curls. Big hair that's especially hard to tame. She writes of struggling to contain it in a hijab, with the daily fear of having one solitary strand come free. Because, since the 1979 Islamic Revolution, it's been illegal for women to show their hair in public. The same goes for removing your hijab and posting the image on your socials, because the regime now views social media as an extension of public space. For decades, Iranian women have been jailed and have died for their acts of civil disobedience. And Masih Alinejad has been one of their most, if not the most, vocal supporters abroad. A threat to the Iranian government coming from enemy territory. Her social media accounts are full of photos of Iranian women defying the regime by throwing off their headscarves. They send her pics with their hair on display in parks, at beaches, in their cars, and on the street. Masih Alinejad calls this campaign My Stealthy Freedom, and it's become massive. 5 million followers on Instagram, 1 million followers on Facebook. And the Iranian government keeps tabs on all of it. A few days after the confrontation in Masih Alinejad's garden, the gigantic man is busy. He spent the past few days staking out her Brooklyn home, sometimes sleeping in his car. At one point, he even plots to lure Alinejad to the door by asking for flowers. But he can't continue like this. He's got to get the job done. He sends a video to one of the higher-ups who are paying him, saying, "We are ready," and showing them an image of an assault rifle. He'd also messaged them a few days earlier, referring to her house as, quote, the crime scene. The man gets out of his car and enters her garden, then walks right up to her house and peers through the windows, then rings the doorbell. When no one answers his knocks, he starts rattling the doorknob to force his way in. What the man doesn't know is that right now, he's also being watched. Alina Jad's doorbell ring camera is recording everything. Back in the mid-2000s, Masih Alinejad is a go-getting young political journalist in Tehran. One day, she's talking to a politician in the corridors of the Iranian parliament. The MP is also a religious leader, and she wants to ask him some questions, the usual reporter stuff. But he says to her, "First cover your hair, then you may ask your question. If you don't cover yourself, I'll have to beat some sense into you." She reaches up to check her hijab and finds only two strands of hair are poking out, and then says back to him, "All this fuss over two strands?" She says the MP then moves towards her, waving his fists like he's about to hit her. Some other journalists intervene to stop him. A year later, and Masih Alinejad is banned from the Iranian parliament altogether. She'd been upsetting some powerful politicians by exposing their kickbacks and bonuses. But even outside the parliament, she keeps doing her journalistic work. In 2008, she writes an article mocking politicians with the headline, "Song of the Dolphins." In it, she compares the then-president Mahmoud Ahmadinejad's supporters to a pod of trained dolphins, obediently squealing and performing tricks to get their rewards. You can imagine how well that goes down. Her boss is forced to publicly apologise. All the while, the threats against Masih Alinejad continue. The government-controlled media even runs a smear campaign against her, including front-page articles calling for her arrest. Her family tells her she's not safe. She needs to get out of Iran. Back in Brooklyn in 2022, the gigantic man knocks on the door of Masih Alinejad's house, planning to assassinate her. But she's on an important Zoom meeting. So when she hears someone knocking, she ignores it. Frustrated, the man turns and walks back to his car and drives away. Then he does something silly. He runs through a stop sign and the cops pull him over. On his back seat, there's a loaded AK-47-style assault rifle and 66 rounds of ammo. They also find gloves and a ski mask. He's arrested on the spot. March 2025, New York. Masih Alinejad sits in the courtroom, scar-free, looking at the gigantic man who'd been scoping out her home. He's a big boy with close-cropped black hair and a black beard, but no moustache. His name is Khalid Mehdiyev, and he's a Russian mobster from Azerbaijan, now also living in New York. But he's not on trial today. Khalid Mehdiyev is just here as a witness. He's agreed to testify against the two bosses who hired him. For his cooperation, he'll plead guilty to some lesser charges. Khalid Mehdiyev freely admits he was at Masih Alinejad's house that day to try and kill the journalist. He also admits that he was part of the criminal underworld in Azerbaijan and that he'd been involved in murder and extortion back home. He's asked how much he was going to be paid to assassinate Masih Alinejad. The answer is $30,000. A small amount, really, to take someone's life. The real question, though, where was that $30,000 coming from? The actual defendants in the court case are Polad Omarov and Rafat Amirov, both high-ranking members of the Russian mob and also Azerbaijanis. It's alleged that they hired Mehdiyev as a hitman to take out Masih Alinejad. Prosecutors allege the two men, quote, sought to soak Brooklyn streets with the victims' blood, and that Iran had hoped to silence one of the regime's most vocal, internationally recognized, and effective critics. But something doesn't quite add up. Why on earth would these two Azerbaijani Russian mobsters have a problem with Masih Alinejad enough to want her dead? Now would be the time for these two to talk. But they don't say much. They've pled not guilty and deny everything. This is where the hitman fills in some of the gaps. Khalid Metyev says the two Russian mobsters were actually the middlemen between himself and the government of Iran. One of the two was even living in Iran at some point. Prosecutors say high-ranking Iranian officials ordered the killing and passed on Alinejad's home address in New York. And what were these middlemen going to get paid for organizing the assassination? Apparently, $500,000. So these two mobsters were being paid $500,000 to organize the assassination, and the assassin himself was getting a measly $30,000 to do the deed. All this detail comes out as Alinejad sits in court, listening. When the trial ends, the two men are found guilty and sentenced to 25 years in prison. As Masih Alinejad leaves court after sentencing, she smiles at reporters and says, "I love justice." After the trial, the US Department of Justice makes this statement. Tehran has long sought to silence Ms. Alinejad. This case is part of a well-documented and disturbing rise in criminal networks paid by Iran to target foreign dissidents. End quote. By standing up to Iran, Masih Alinejad has faced years of intimidation and death threats in her homeland and even more so in the United States. But her hugely successful campaign has divided her family back home. Before the assassination attempt in 2018, her older sister appeared on Iranian state TV to disown her. She went on with her daughter, both in full chadars, to disavow their exiled relative. She accused her younger sister of being brainwashed, saying her criticisms of Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Khomeini, crossed a red line. But what about her parents? Masih Alinejad said that growing up, her mum had gone from wearing a small headscarf to a dark chador. She became, quote, the police in the house. She was supportive of my father, who constantly said, "You'd better wear a hijab." So my sister, my mother and I, we used to wear hijab inside the house. Masih Alinejad has also described her mother as a feminist who, in reality, just wants all the pressure to stop. So like many relationships with parents, it's loving but complicated. Her brother, Alireza Alinejad, took a different position to everyone else. When she'd left for America, he sent her videos telling her not to back down, even if something happens to him. In 2019, he was arrested by the Iranian Revolutionary Guard for insulting the supreme leader and propaganda against the system. Human rights groups like Amnesty International say these charges were trumped up. He goes to jail anyway, but is released on parole after a year. Masih Alinejad hasn't seen her mother for almost 20 years. She's planted a tree to remember her by in her Brooklyn garden, the same one the assassin had watched her working in. She and her husband had to sell that house because the address is now public knowledge. There have been other attempts on her life too, and she receives high security protection from the American government. Since the court case, she and her husband have moved from safe house to safe house, never staying long enough to put pictures up on the walls. She tells reporters, quote, "Sometimes during the night, I wake up and I don't know where I am." In court, just before the Russian mobsters were sentenced for trying to kill her, Masih Alinejad told the judge, "My crime is just giving voice to women of Iran. That's it. I crossed the ocean to come to America to have a normal life. And I don't have a normal life." Assassins is hosted by me, Aslan Pahari. Hannah Jose is the producer. Sound by Tegan Nichols. Supervising producer is Kyla Slaven. Executive producers are Joel Werner, Eric George, and Jessica Radburn. As well as listening to Assassins, you can watch full episodes of the show on YouTube and Spotify. Those videos are shot and edited by Tejas Bhatt, Dylan Bien, and Eve Kogan. If there's an assassination you think we should cover on the show, please email us, assassins@abc.net.au. I hope to hear from you soon, my friend.